boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. Hollywood loves a high-concept blockbuster, and the best of these can be explained simply by their titles. Sharknado, Snakes on a Plane, Hobo with a Shotgun, Cowboys and Aliens. Released in 2011 as director Jon Favreau's follow-up to Iron Man and Iron Man 2, Cowboys and Aliens assembled an all-star cast, including Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford, Olivia Wilde, Sam Rockwell, and Paul Dano, and an all-star production team, including Brian Grazer, Ron Howard, and Steven Spielberg. The film also received a high-profile Super Bowl ad and had its world premiere at San Diego Comic-Con. However, the film drew mixed reviews from critics and failed to impress at the box office, where it came in almost dead even with The Smurfs for first place. The film went on to barely make its production budget back, landing it on the list of one of the most expensive box office flops ever made. Jon Favreau has since gone on to make box office gold with The Lion King and return to an alien-inhabited Western motif with The Mandalorian for Disney+. But does Cowboys and Aliens have any appeal beyond its Mystery Science Theater 3000-worthy premise? He dry-gulched me, gentlemen.
You always say something about seeing Paul Dano get punched in the face. It's nice to see him get kneed in the giblets as well. Yeah,
so there's a supercut video that I shared basically of Paul Dano getting beat up. I believe when he was cast as the Penguin, that was the headline, which like, oh, guess Robert Pattinson's going to get to punch Paul Dano in the face now.
It's not Paul Dano that's the Penguin. It's...
Oh, that's right. He's the Riddler. I'm sorry. Yes. He's the Riddler and Colin Farrell.
Farrell, thank you.
My bad. So Cowboys and Aliens is one of those movies that for me, I was super excited about because of just the batshit premise. The fact that it had a big budget, it had all these great actors in it. It was Jon Favreau's follow-up to the Iron Man films, which really kind of made him a blockbuster director. He'd had success both on the indie circuit with Swingers and Maid and more mainstream with Elf. But this was kind of his, let's see what this guy can do with an unproven sort of thing. Although I shouldn't say that Iron Man was a proven thing because it wasn't when he made it. But he had this relationship with Universal Pictures because they distributed the Iron Man films before Marvel was bought by Disney and it was its own thing. And this was kind of him proving what he could do, right?
Yes and no. He was already pretty good at what he was doing. But at this point was that, can he come up with a new franchise with these actors and that kind of budget? And the answer is no. People have been trying to replicate Iron Man. That's what he was trying to do there. He was trying to make his own thing. But when he works with material from other people, he's amazing.
Well, this was material from other people. So this was based on a graphic novel that came out in 2006. So this was something that was already out there. This had been, there was one pass at a script by Mark Fergus, Hawk Ospey, and Steve Odekirk, and then Damon Lindelof of Watchmen, Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci, who worked on Lost and another bunch of other
Fringe.
Fringe. They came on and wrote the final script. So what's kind of interesting about, I hear what you're saying, but this is kind of like a ready-made universe that he got to play in. What went wrong?
It's boring?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of parts that are fun. There's scenes that are fun and could work in other movies, but I don't know. Even Olivia Wilde's eyes don't carry it for me. I mean, I can stare at her in like anything, but this just it. Like, again, parts of it are fun, but and it can be a fun ride, but it is boring. I caught myself looking at my phone way too much at about halfway through and two-thirds of the way through. And
I would say...
There was a lot of Animal Crossing during this.
God. I would say it needed to be about 20 minutes shorter.
This was solid 2 hours, wasn't it?
Two hours, yeah. It needed to cut out a couple subplots, and I... Again, like, I think the strength of this film is on Keith Carradine, Clancy Brown, Sam Rockwell, Adam Beach, characters who aren't Walton Goggins, oh my God, David O'Hara, people who are not the leads of this film. I think this is not Daniel Craig's best work by any means. I was yearning for him to break out that Kentucky Fried Foghorn Leghorn. Right.
I was hoping he'd say something from that.
Yeah, and Harrison Ford is literally playing a cranky old man, which, you know, is great, but we saw it when he came back as Indiana Jones.
They
we
do
saw
redeem it when he came him back as a Han Solo at the end.
They do, but... again, that felt kind of forced, and they kind of had to have this emotional subplot in there. It never really felt earned, any of it, especially at the end.
No.
Where he goes, I want it to say Dollar Hide and Sons, and Paul Dano's like,
because you're still an idiot, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this has been, what, like 1 week, his kid's all of a sudden smarter? Like, it did, well, and it did look beautiful,
remember
though.
Anything. Yeah.
The whole thing did look beautiful. The movie shot well, at least, right? I mean,
so the thing about doing a Western, and we love Westworld, we get it. Like, it's cinematic. It just translates well to the big screen.
It's American tradition. Let's be honest here. But we recognize ourselves in this kind of movies.
Another American tradition we have is trying to mash up Westerns with other genres, Wild Wild West, with sort of action, spy, sci-fi.
Spy-fi.
Jonah Hex, spy-fi. Jonah Hex, which is sort of
spy-fi.
Western and
oh, that's
comic
supernatural.
Book horror. Yeah, supernatural, right? The ones that work are the ones where you take sci-fi and put a little Western in there, like Firefly and The Mandalorian.
Yeah, but see... You can't really even say that, because Firefly didn't really work. At least it didn't mainstream right off the bat.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But Mandalorian is like, it's so much of everything. Western is just...
Part of it.
Yeah, I mean, that is 60%, I guess. You're completely right on that.
But I think what this movie, what I wanted more of, was I wanted more of the aliens, right? You spend a lot of time with the cowboys, and then you spend a lot of time with the Indians. And then
Native
you really
Americans.
Don't, sorry, cowboys and Native Americans and
aliens.
The aliens, extraterrestrials, right? Non-Earthlings.
Yes.
Anyway.
Non-Earthlings. That's
EBE.
Yeah.
Is it extra biological entity?
Extraterrestrial biological entity.
Yes, thank you. Wait.
So we spend time with them, but we don't. We don't ever really get anything from them, and we have one sort of, I'll use quotey fingers, character development, where you see the one with the scar that killed his wife, you see him again,
but he only comes back for like 5 seconds at the end when he gets recaptured the fifth time he goes back in the ship to, like, come on, like, these super horrible beings are only around just to get gold.
I mean,
that's very,
that's it,
cowboy. You know, I see what they're doing, but do I like it? I'm bored.
And a lot of the movie is just them riding around, because the aliens show up right at the beginning, and then a little bit in the middle, but it's you're right. It's mostly we got to figure out where we're going, where'd they go, whatever.
And then you have, like, the... memory Deus Ex Machina that helps you advance the plot when necessary. I mean, it's this is written by a committee somewhere.
It is written by committee. You look at the number of writers on this. It has six writers working on it.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
How many of them worked on Green Lantern?
Well, a couple, right? Didn't Lindelof and Kurtzman, I think? Yeah, so. But one of the interesting things, and I did a little digging because I'd never really heard of the graphic novel. So Platinum Studios, you'd be forgiven if you've never heard of them before. They're not even one of the well-known indie labels. But they made Cowboys and Aliens, 105-page graphic novel, which they sold at $4.99, which is really, really cheap, considering most graphic novels of that size are $10 or more. And then they made a business arrangement with Top Cow, which publishes Witchblade and Fathom and a bunch of, you know, fairly well-known titles, to list Cowboys and Aliens in their section of Dimebag Comic Distributors catalog. Again, that's a little inside baseball, but a lot of times comic shops will order what they think will sell based on the label that publishes it, not necessarily what the title is. So, and then they gave them all these discounts to retailers to actually sell the book and count it in their sales numbers. So basically what happened was Cowboys and Aliens, the graphic novel, was listed as a top seller for the month, even though probably not a lot of people actually bought copies of it. But you see something in the top best-selling list. Comic book movies are starting to become a big thing. This is where, I mean, 2010, you had Kick-Ass, Scott Pilgrim, all of these smaller, lesser-known comic books are getting picked up and made into...
Yeah, but Kick-Ass was a good movie.
Right, I'm not saying it wasn't a good movie.
But it's better than this.
Yeah, it's kind of like the more obscure comic properties are getting picked up and made into movies. So they look and they saw, Cowboys and Aliens is a top seller. We need to greenlight this movie.
It has cowboys and it has aliens. How could you go wrong?
And it has aliens. And we know people love both those things. People like snakes. People like planes.
We
people like
give
Samuel
a,
motherfucking Jackson.
I'd like to know if he had the like exact bracelet and shit in the comic book, or if that was something they added for this. Because otherwise, they're like, we could give him like an Iron Man piece of tech.
Yeah.
So,
and they went through a lot of casting. I believe there was someone who was cast. I think it was Robert Downey Jr. was cast for the lead.
Oh, really?
And then didn't do it. Because he and Favreau were tight, and obviously he's Happy Hogan, so they ended up they lost Robert Downey Jr. He didn't commit. I think he went to do Sherlock Holmes or something, and they wanted somebody who they wanted to cast someone who looked like a Western actor, like a John Wayne type or a Steve McQueen. And they ended up going with Daniel Craig because they thought you put him in a cowboy hat, he looks like Steve McQueen.
He's kind of rough and tumble. He could be a cowboy or a plainsman or whatever.
I mean, he really needed to lean into the drawl, but
I think he was afraid to do it then.
I think he was.
Just now that he has zero fucks to give, so.
Yeah.
He rocks the tweed coat and the...
Yep. Yep, and he's in... I mean, you look at him, he's in great shape in this movie.
He does rock the tweed coat.
Oh, he's in phenomenal shape in this movie.
Yeah. The problem that I have in this movie is most of the actors don't have chemistry with each other, and it gets really tough for you to kind of root for them. Again, the only people I love... Sam Rockwell in this. They just give him enough to do because every scene he's in, he steals because he's Sam Rockwell. Walton Goggins, I would watch in anything. And, you know, I got to say, I am a huge Clancy Brown fan and I needed more of him. I almost
Who's
wanted
Clancy Brown?
The Kurgan, you know, the preacher.
Oh, yeah. He dies way too early.
I almost wanted him to be the Dollar Hyde character. And I know they wanted to cast Harrison Ford because he's a big name, but I feel like Clancy Brown can ride that line of being a menacing character, but also like having a softer side. More so than I bought with Harrison Ford.
Is it me? You say Harrison Ford's a big name, and I get it, but when's the last time you made a movie that was bankable that's not called Star Wars?
Well, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull,
which 2008,
again, talk about people in fedoras and aliens.
Yeah, but, you know, since then, I'm trying to see a movie in which he was bankable at all. Yeah. Or good.
The Fugitive.
Yeah, but that's 1991.
Yeah, well, my dog agrees. You hear her barking? She's like, fuck this.
Harrison I think they Ford. Wanted that. They wanted to remind people that he was still a thing or something. Like, let's yeah. give the man a paycheck. If the Kurgan or whatever, if the no, roles would have been swapped,
I would have flipped. Yeah, I would have flipped a couple of roles around. I think Sam Rockwell was really underserved. He needed more to do. Paul Dano, they set him up as such a foil at the beginning, but then he's absent for most of the movie. It feels like kind of a waste. I don't know. This movie plays this weird thing of, you know, it's about getting a bunch of these people back because they get kidnapped. But I would have flipped it around. I would have maybe had the little kid get abducted and have Keith Carradine give him more to do.
Do you think maybe it was like time? You know, maybe they just couldn't get these certain actors for so long.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you're again, right. Why wouldn't you have Carradine in there for more than... Hey, he's here, says yeah. a cool couple lines, and then gets kidnapped.
This movie has such a weird structure that that's you true. Kind of forget what they're doing in the middle of the movie because they've gone through so many things. You find out Olivia Wilde is actually an alien. That makes no goddamn sense at all. And then they kind of just keep spinning it. And then she blows up the ship and... That actually kills her, but...
Does it?
I love her, though. God, like, I love her eyes. Oh, my God.
We do. But when she walks out of the fire, like Daenerys Targaryen, you're like, oh, yeah.
She's a way better director than she is an actress. I'm sorry.
My favorite shot of her, though, is where she's like, she just comes out of the river after they fall, and her eyes next to the water, her eyes are so fucking blue and aqua there. God, I love her. Anyways.
Very good. So you mentioned her being a director. I heard a rumor that she might do Captain Marvel 2.
Really?
That would be cool. I guess Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck aren't returning for that. So hers is one of the names that's kind of like out there.
They are not. They've been fired. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if they've been fired or they're just not doing that one. They might do other Marvel stuff, but who knows. Yeah, so Cowboys and Aliens, guys. Good soundtrack. Okay effects. I didn't love the design of the aliens. It felt a little too because the plot demands it. They feel somewhat like the critters in A Quiet Place. Real armored and tough, but then they have weird weaknesses. But I never really got much from them.
I have issues when they're trying to make these kinds of weird aliens. It's like they've seen Independence Day and they're all trying to do the same fucking thing.
Or do something slightly different.
Yeah, but, you know, why can't we have the alien from the 80s that, well, maybe not speak English, but, you know, biped, looking like something. It's a movie, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. What I guess one of the other things I kind of was bummed about with this movie is... I feel like there are ways you can do Western tropes, have the showdown, you know, the gunfight. This one kind of has the prison break, I guess, the heist. There are ways that you can kind of play on these tropes. We've seen The Mandalorian do it again and again and again.
Yep.
I kind of wish there was more of that here. Like if we had been like, oh, this is a train job, or, oh, this is a... prison break, or oh, this is a...
I would watch that as a TV show way better than a movie. You place this character in that weird world where there's like some tech, whatever, if it's steampunk or not, or if it's just alien. You know? And then at some point, give me ninjas.
Give me ninjas.
You know?
I really did like the shot of the gambling boat 500 miles inland.
Based on a true story.
What?
What?
Yeah, so apparently there was an actual steamship like that it had been on the river. There was a storm, and a levee broke, and it ended up like miles away, upside down in a cornfield.
Huh.
Okay.
Anyway.
I mean, that'd be cool to find sometime.
Yeah.
Would it?
Yes, it would. Stop saying that.
Was there anything else that kind of stood out from this as being good or especially bad?
That's the thing, is everything is competent.
Yeah.
This movie is competent.
I kind of was trying to watch it and do like the Mystery Science Theater 3000 narration in my head, but there isn't a ton of stuff here to openly mock, but it doesn't give you a lot to love either.
Yeah. No, like I said, this movie's competent, but it's dull.
Dull's a good word for it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let me find a good word by rating it.
Okay.
Wow, I was trying to look up this steamship thing, and you got to make me read my lines. I'm trying to hit some history here. I'm
trying to have like a nice flow and bridge.
I'll tell
and all
you.
That
hold
shit.
On. I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you the story.
Look here, Paul. He's got iron on his wrists. He's been shot. Could be he broke out the hooscow. Might be worth rating this movie here. Wing for cowboys and aliens. Are you going legendary?
In absolution, no one can hear you scream.
Legend of its time.
The good, the bad, and the otherworldly.
Cult legend.
Indiana Bond and the legend of E.T.'s gold.
Awesome.
What in tarnation? It's an alien invasion.
Entertaining.
There will be green blood.
Mabel.
We named the dog Dog.
It's forgettable.
What do you know? English.
Abysmal.
Comically bad.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Wild Wild West.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle barf tears.
With a side of Paul Dano getting beat up.
Oh, God. I can't believe I'm going to give this a forgettable. What do you know?
Yeah, I think.
Francais? I mean, I played with the idea of watching it in French because I remembered it being bad, but then you watch it and you're like, oh, that's going to be okay. And after 10 minutes, you're like, oh, no, it's not. It's really not. Everybody gives a very drab performance. Everybody's cashing its checks and it shows. The stunt director seems happy to do the action, and that's why you survive. The CGI is okay at best. There's really little redemption. I didn't remember the story, and I finished the movie. I was so distracted by mid-movie that I had to go reread the recap of the story to be honest. So, this is a forgettable endeavor. I'm sorry, Jon Favreau. You can't win them all. You're a hell of a filmmaker, but I think you've learned a lot in this that you applied after at Disney. So, good for you. Beef?
I gotta go one step up from you. We named the dog Dog. Mayable. It is a little bit more fun or entertaining for me, but it's not an entertaining movie. Every time I start to get bogged down, I just go, oh, she's pretty, and then they kill her. It's fun. The concept is interesting, but again, you don't really spend any time with the aliens. You don't really see the aliens much. They're just the boogeyman. They appear occasionally to steal some town folk, and it doesn't really go anywhere. It's a fetch quest to do something that we don't know if it'll work other than just save the people who, realistically, they took the people. They're not going to be alive long till they're just using them to figure out how you are vulnerable. Well, you only need about 5 of us to figure out how to kill us as a people. So I don't know why they would have kept these people that long. They would have died much earlier. So, yeah, Mayable. Lobster? With a side of Paul Dano getting beat up.
Ow.
Lobster.
Motherfucker.
Why did they need the people? I don't think they ever really told us, did they?
He said... they take the people, I think she said it, they take your people to find out how to kill you or how to exterminate you, and once they know that, they're going to kill everybody. Huh. So you really only need a couple of us to figure out.
I thought they needed them like batteries in the Matrix or something. Yeah, shows you what I know.
You figure, because they kept them all zoned out, staring at something.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with forgettable as well, because I forgot most of this movie I might have watched it actually on Saturday, but this I forgot it after I saw it originally. I forgot it probably after I saw it afterwards. I had this weird sense that I liked it, and I still do kind of like it, but it's not a movie that sticks with you. This was a movie that, I mean, if you just look at the effect that it had on Jon Favreau's career, he basically had to make a comeback movie about himself as the main character who suffered a high-profile failure and basically had to work his way back up from the bottom rung. The movie's called Chef, Jon Favreau plays a chef, but it's basically a metaphor for what happened to his career after Cowboys and Aliens. So, again, he's back on top of the world. I don't think he could be in a better place with what he's doing with Disney, what he's doing with The Mandalorian. If this was just a learning experience for him, I think it's a good lesson. I definitely want to believe in this universe, but I don't believe the universe as it's given to us in this film. True story, at least historical legend, the capsized steamboat that appears in the film is presumed to be the Iron Mountain, which, according to legend, steamed out of Vicksburg, towing two barges. 2 hours later, another boat found the barges adrift. The ship was not found until later, having apparently been refloated by floodwaters, carried through a break in a levee, grounded in a cotton field at Omega Landing in Tallulah, Louisiana.
Iron Mountain Riverboat.
Yep.
All right. I guess I'll believe you. Last word on Cowboys and Aliens.
Ninjas.
That's what it needed.
Yep.
Damn it. It's not a word, but when Paul Dano shoots off into the distance and all of a sudden you're, ow, and he's like, where'd he come from?
That's not how the Force works.
That's one of my favorite Star Wars line of all time. That's not how the Force works, stupid moron.
Beef, what time is it?
News time.
All right, so we are in box office quarantine still. We do have some stuff to kind of talk about numbers-wise. First off, I'll talk about what are some of the most watched movies at home for the past weekend, May 15th to May 17th. Scoob, Capone, Once Upon a Time in Venice, The Wrong Missy, and Kimmy versus the Reverend. So people are watching a lot of movies at home now. These were, in the case of Scoob, a film that was going to get a theatrical release. Capone was a video-on-demand release directed by Josh Trank with Tom Hardy. Once Upon a Time in Venice is a Bruce Willis movie that I've never even heard of. The Wrong Missy is a Happy Madison production with David Spade. And Kimmy versus the Reverend is a Netflix choose-your-own-adventure type story from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Did you guys watch any of these this past weekend?
Nope.
No, I was watching old stuff this weekend.
I watched fucking Cowboys and Aliens.
I did that and some other stuff.
Only one thing, Wing? Come on.
Yeah. You know me, I play video games.
Some movies are also making relatively good money at the drive-in box office. So for a domestic weekend box office review, this is from Box Office Mojo, we have The Wretched in first place from IFC Films with $91,000, almost $92,000.
Just under.
That's pretty good. Playing in 21 theaters across the country. After that, in second place, we have How to Build a Girl with $32,000. And then The Burnt Orange Heresy, moving to number 3 from number 6, is The Burnt Orange Heresy from Sony Pictures Classics with $55.
So what's our hit alert on that?
So your hit alert is The Wretched, which is apparently a horror film.
No. The hit alert is the $55 one, because it never would have made that money had the box offices been open.
I mean, playing on one screen, right?
It has made almost $40,000 to date.
It's, in 11 weeks of release.
Ooh. So, good stuff for them. I've heard Scuba is kind of fun from a couple people.
I have though. As well. Yep.
So that's I will probably pay for that.
That's a looks movie good. That's happy to be in this time slot right now.
Yeah, I think this and Trolls World Tour have been the real benefactors of this kind of situation.
Agreed.
So we do have some sad news to report. Two deaths that we'll mention. Rest in peace, Fred Willard, character actor, comedian, aged 86. You guys know him from the Waiting for Guffman, This Is Spinal Tap, Best in Show, those A Mighty Wind movies. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously he shows up in a ton of stuff on film and television all over the place. So kind of an omnipresent actor. I know he was just on Modern Family, passed away age 86 of natural causes. Lynn Shelton, director, who had worked on a ton of different stuff, including Hump Day, Little Fires Everywhere, a bunch of mumblecore movies. This kind of shocking, age 54, she passed away. So
that's young.
Kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's crazy young.
So, again, these aren't COVID-related deaths, it sounds like, but, again, nonetheless, these are sad things to report. So, again, we kind of come back to this theme week after week. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with Tenet, the Christopher Nolan film that's slated for July release, and lots of speculation what could happen if it is pushed off of its release date. Warner Brothers would likely push Wonder Woman 1984 back even further and give Tenet that release date in December. Questions about how Tenet could succeed even if theaters / seating.
I like
the answer
open
is,
letter.
Yeah. And then the open letter that says, please don't release Tenet in July. Don't do it. So what do you guys feel like? Is this a do or don't at this stage?
Well, L.A. is on lockdown now till the end of the summer or whatever, or California. And I don't know. Even, like the one article says, even 50% seating will still be all right. And you could do that, probably. But the biggest thing is, even if I know I'm going to be 6 feet away from people and I'm going to have my spacing or whatever, am I really going to want to go out in a crowd or even a semi-crowd of people at the movie theater and, you know, like wait 2 hours in a 6-foot gap line to get into my seat? It's just, it's going to be all different and all wrong and weird. And I don't know right now in the climate if I will be going in 2 months to see it, unless we all agree we have to do it that weekend. But I don't think we'd do that. So
I'm not in any rush to go sit in a movie theater. I think we do the right thing and we incite people to stay home also and watch good classics and piece of shit like this one. But overall, yeah, no, I'm really not in the urgent mood to go sit with hundreds of people that, you know.
Even if it was only 50 people in here, 30 people in each theater, there's so many theaters and there's so many people there. What about you? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, so I'm kind of divided. So on the one hand, I think that if you're going to release a movie in theaters, even if it's only in a handful of theaters somewhere, it's better than nothing, right? And I feel like, although the open letter kind of makes the point that people are going to spoil it. People are going to spoil Tenet because it's going to be one of those movies that you just have to see and know the twist and whatever. And yeah, Nolan is like that. We get it. So on the one hand, I could see maybe you want to wait until release it on a weekend that everyone can go see it. But I don't know if that weekend will ever exist. Like ever.
For a while.
Do you know what I mean? So on the other hand, I would rather have the theaters that can open and show it, open and show it, right? Let people test the waters. Let people have a reason to go see a big release, whether it's in 5 theaters in the country, 50 theaters, 500, whatever it is, right? and have Christopher Nolan come in at the beginning on screen and say, guys, okay, this is unprecedented what we're dealing with.
Don't fuck this up.
Please don't spoil the movie, right? Respect the sanctity of the cinema. You made it out here. Some of you may be taking a risk.
Somebody's already tweeting this. What you're saying.
I was thinking that when he started saying it, but
yeah,
people are assholes. It could work. I'm leery to go to theaters, but I want to see it.
Yeah, and again, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Do you just have it be these small releases? These IFC films are the only thing that's kind of out there. Do you re-release old movies like you were saying and let that kind of be the test?
I'll go see Tenet at a fucking drive-in.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's an option. So,
my car's not that comfortable.
You'd make it work.
Yeah.
You know what?
No, I've seen movies in some pretty uncomfortable cars, front seat and back seat.
But honestly, I would wait to watch it in better condition. When I'm really excited about a movie, I'm just gonna try my best to shield myself from what it is to have good condition to watch it, like not going on the first freaking day, because that's not fun.
I think we're gonna see them make a decision pretty soon. I've seen that Warner Brothers feels like they need at least 80% of the theaters to be open in order to actually make releasing it feasible. So I don't think that we're going to get there by July.
Yeah, probably not. You're probably right on that. It's
possibly a moot point.
Moot.
So, moot. Moot. Indeed, it is moot. A cow's opinion. A moot point. CW is going to hold. Sir. I do. CW is going to hold on to most of its new seasons until spring, with the exception of the Supernatural finale. Doesn't they picked up a bunch of shows.
Because everybody's at home. Suck. Like, shouldn't they be releasing the shit now?
Yep, they can't produce it, though. That's one of the problems. So that's why they're buying things like Swamp Thing and putting that on network TV. Listen, Swamp Thing, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be a network TV show. Just let that sink in for a second. A show called Swamp Thing. A show about Swamp Thing. I'm a longtime Swamp Thing fan.
Yeah, but your show is already canceled.
Is it? If it does well on network? If it gets good ratings?
I still think so. I don't think there's a chance of revival on that.
They retool it for season two. I'm just saying.
They're going to be scrambling for content, so this could be... Yeah.
Yep. And we'll come back to a CW show that's in a tough spot in a little bit.
Do you have that news on here?
Yeah, some late-breaking news to add in. So, SAG Awards are going to consider films not released theatrically. So we're seeing more
virus.
We're seeing more award shows kind of get on board, and that I think is affecting the way some movies are going to get released. We'll talk about that kind of as we come up. So I have some development news, actually a bunch to kind of run through. So Danny Boyle is going to do a movie called We Love Danny Boyle. Is going to do Methuselah with Warner Brothers. Methuselah.
Okay.
Methuselah, biblically, is a very long-lived man. He lived like 900 years or something.
Yeah, but you started by saying biblically, and that's where I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I like...
Well, how about Michael B. Jordan
being the star? I love him, too. I like him, and I like Danny Boyle. I don't know if I want a biblical tale, but
Think it'll be biblical. Correct. I think that will be... But just about a dude.
So if they do it well and interesting and it's something weird and fun,
like Bicentennial Man with an actual man.
You had to say that.
I did say that.
I'd have
to
watch that again.
In Wonder Woman. We should do that with Wonder Woman.
Bicentennial Man?
Yeah, there's a guy that was born at the dawn of man and keeps like being like a conqueror time after time.
I think that's the movie, right? That's what Danny Boyle's going to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm so confused.
Okay. Scream.
Ah!
Scream is returning.
No, stop. No.
Scream is returning.
Nope.
Does that scare you, Wing? Is that the one thing on the planet that scares you, is the dude with the white mask?
The call is coming from inside the house. They made a TV series. They made how many movies?
It's on like 7-Up commercials. Yeah. No, this is the this will be the fifth one, I think.
This is, okay, so 4, and then a TV show. Yeah. They sucked all everything that this thing had good in it. And now what are they going to pastiche? I
mean, they're going to bring the directors of Ready or Not, and they're going to bring David Arquette back and do a movie.
I have no interest in that.
So it's not even a reboot because David Arquette
is there. It sounds like they're getting they're trying to get other legacy actors on board as well. Matthew Lillard said he's down. So
of course he is. He hasn't done shit since Scream.
Well, he's been on Good Girls.
He's been on Twin Peaks.
Oh, sorry.
He's been on Twin Peaks.
I'm a bad person then. I shouldn't say anything.
You can't know what everybody.
But also, what has Matthew Lillard done? Am I right? Right?
Yeah.
Like Hackers and Scream, I think.
Come on, Phil Lord, Chris Miller are going to team with Ryan Gosling for an astronaut thriller.
Sure.
Didn't Ryan Gosling do an astronaut movie?
Yes, and it was horrible. First Man. Fucking horrible.
Oh my God, I had forgot about that. Why did you talk about it?
Because they didn't plant the flag on the moon. And how do we know that moon's for America?
No. I don't care about that. The movie was horrible. Other than the flag plant, I could have cared less about the flag planting. It's boring. They try to get to like his troubled past and his troubled life, but they never really explore any of the stuff they set up. It's not good. But this sounds interesting. I'm down for what they do. They do fun stuff.
So I basically want him to be, who's the spaceman in the Lego movie? What's his name?
Spaceman.
Yeah, spaceman. Yeah.
Okay.
Spaceship. Yeah. I just want that to be the movie, and that's Ryan Gosling running around. You're like, spaceship.
That would be great, actually.
I think so. Luca Guadagnino is going to direct a Scarface reboot for Universal. Now, he directed Call Me By Your Name. I do want to stress that the headline buries the lead on this. You have to read the article. Joel Cohen and Ethan Cohen wrote the script.
Oh.
So you want to see the Cohen brothers do Scarface.
When's the last time the Cohen brother made a good movie?
I mean,
They turned out like 15 years of Oscar winners and all that, but at some point it just like stopped.
I mean, No Country for Old Men, I guess, being kind of their last super great movie, or what am I forgetting?
Isn't that like 10 years ago or something?
True Grit?
Was that the Coen brothers, the new True Grit?
Yeah.
Okay, that was pretty good. Okay.
I still think that was like 10 years ago now. I'll bet you that's a solid 8 years ago. Easy.
Yeah, that was True Grit was 2010.
See, that freaks me out.
Yeah, 2010. That's the Inception thing, Wing.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
Something we don't need. So no when one was asked the last for. Time
there was a Legally Blonde movie?
I don't know, about a year and a half after the first one, and they should have stopped.
Yeah, they should have stopped. But Mindy Kaling and Dan Gore are going to write Legally Blonde 3.
What?
And Reese Witherspoon is going to come back.
Oh, my God. They're rebooting Legally Blonde.
They're not rebooting it. They're sequelized 3. 3 is the 3.
Yeah, they're doing one.
They're finishing the trilogy.
They're going to hand the reins off to some other blonde woman that's legalized. Another
blonde. Yeah. Or maybe she's legally blonde, but she's an illegal alien. Wouldn't that be something? Make it about immigration.
What if we find out she isn't legally blonde and it all comes from a bottle?
What if they outlaw being blonde?
What if they not care about the movie or waste any more time of the podcast on it?
Okay, so AMC, when's the last time you got excited about the works of Anne Rice?
Or anything on AMC.
25 years ago.
Or anything on AMC. Yeah.
AMC,
Interview with a Vampire. Interview with a network that is conducted by Chris Hardwick. Interview conducted by Chris Hardwick with a Vampire. AMC acquired the rights to the works of Anne Rice.
Like all of them? Like we want all of them? We'll have them all?
Well, I believe that's a package deal. I believe they had a package deal and they bought the iconic works of Anne Rice.
We'll take package A.
Mm-hmm. Apple TV Plus's Mythic Quest is going to do a special quarantine special filmed on iPhones.
I read this like three times, and I thought only people with iPhones would get it. I'm dumb.
So they're shooting it because it's Apple TV Plus. They're going to film the episodes on their iPhones, I guess, to advertise both Apple Mythic Quest and iPhones.
It's not impressive anymore. I mean, okay, you're running around with a 4K camera.
I mean, I've seen some great movies filmed on people's iPhones.
Guess what? Everybody, every YouTuber and everybody out there has been doing this for like 4 or 3 years, you fucking dummies.
Yeah.
Now, because every professional, that's the only thing that they all have. Yep. They think they're breaking some mold.
I mean, I believe that we're going to see drone camera operation be a major thing.
It's already is a major
thing. I read an article that said Michael Bay is going to do a pandemic movie in LA while it's still shut down with lots of drone footage and lots of other things. It's like this is all, it's all coming full circle now.
I mean, you could basically do I Am Legend in New York right now with no special effects.
Zero. Right. Absolutely none. Other than maybe a little bit of creeping Charlie or vines here or there.
Okay, let's get a camera. Have you seen
my creeping Charlie?
Whoa, bro. Get a razor. Nobody likes hair in their food.
Okay. So, speaking of someone who probably puts hair in their food, Josh Gad.
Who?
Will play Josh Gad. The guy from Avenue 5, the boss, or the millionaire.
Oh. What's his name? Yes.
Good for him. Okay.
Why don't I know this?
That guy.
Bud. His name's Bud.
No, it's not. It's,
On Avenue 5.
This is horrible. Okay, here, I'll just type in On Avenue 5.
Do we need to put the podcast on hold, or you're good?
No.
I'll talk about Judd.
Holy shit.
Okay, Bud and Judd, come on. I wasn't that far off. He's going to play a character named Casey Houseman, in Roland Emmerich's new disaster movie, Moonfall. So I want to click on this article from Hollywood Reporter.
Roland Emmerich's still alive?
Roland Emmerich is still alive. He did not die in 2012. He lived long enough to see his dream become reality. Right. Okay. So Josh Gad, you can click on, see the picture of him, so you know who he is. Moonfall sees its plot go into action when the moon is knocked from its orbit by a mysterious force and is on a collision course with Earth. Okay, so Moonfall, right? We get it. So... Gad will play is the first person cast in the ensemble, described by the filmmakers as odd and unkempt in a way that suggests a high level of intelligence and an equally high level of disorganization. He is a genius who correctly predicts that the moon has fallen out of its orbit, thus making the space-obsessed, profoundly unfiltered, and eccentric man one of the most important people on Earth. Like, you don't have to be a fucking genius to be like, gee, the moon looks like it's coming towards us.
It's Independence Day all over again.
It's asteroid.
Armageddon all over again. It's asteroid. Deep Impact.
Yeah, they're going out to blow it up or push it off its course. But the problem is that if the moon ever was blown up or pushed off course, our planet would be fucked.
We're fucked.
Yeah, I mean, like, so this
Wait. Beef, can I back up for a second and just ask you a really important question?
He is the same person as Judd in this movie. Go on.
No. The question, and I know you know the answer to this.
Maybe.
Whose moon is it?
It's our moon, bitches.
Thank you.
Jeez. I mean,
wow, that's 10 years in the making.
Actually, that's like 12 years. Oh, yeah. Shut up, Beef.
Yeah. So, Moonfall. Look forward to that. Netflix, we talked about this news last week, Ball and Chain, The Rock, Emily Blunt superhero movie where they're a married couple and their powers only work if they get along. That was going to be a movie, but Netflix snapped it up, and they're going to buy that.
It's still going to be a movie, so.
Still going to be a movie. People are going to see, they still get awards if it's on streaming, just like the new Tom Hanks war movie, Greyhound, which will skip cinemas altogether and go to Apple TV Plus for release. Now, I want to stress...
I'll actually watch it now.
I want to stress that I think this is a calculated decision because all of these award shows are now going to start considering streaming movies. So you need to get your movie on streaming as fast as you can so that people will see it
and talk about it. Yeah.
And then you can get nominated for these awards. Tom Hanks, Screen Actors Guild Award, Greyhound, Bing Bang Boom, right?
Bing Bang Boom. Sure.
Step four, I hope Tenet comes out on. I'll rent it.
I hope it doesn't. I want to see it on the big goddamn screen. I do too.
Well, they can re-release it when the plague goes away.
Okay. All right. Little news I'm excited for, and then some more news I'm super excited for, and then something that bums me out. So,
I'm glad Edgar it's Wright. All about you.
It's all about me because I'm the one reading it. Edgar Wright, Neera Park, and Joe Cornish. Some of my favorite creators who've done amazing films like Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World's End, Spaced, Baby Driver, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Ant-Man. Oh, fuck, not Ant-Man.
I liked Ant-Man. Quiet.
But he didn't do it.
Oh, that's right.
Ant-Man's amazing.
All three of them, are launching a new production company, Complete Fiction. Remember, they had a deal with something in the UK that they split up so they could do this deal with Netflix. So they've announced the company's called Complete Fiction. They've signed a deal with Netflix. They're developing three new series. One is Lockwood and Company, a supernatural action adventure detective series based on the best-selling novels by Jonathan Stroud. The Murders of Molly Southbourne, a trilogy from novelist Tade Thompson, and City of Brass, a historical fantasy series based on the Devabad trilogy inspired by Islamic folklore from author S.A. Chakraborty.
Interested?
Wow. Great. I'm excited for all of this.
The first one for sure.
Wright, Park, and Cornish, so I am on board.
I have a man crush nerd boner for the next bit of news.
Why don't you read that one? It's all about you.
Justified star Timothy Oliphant joins The Mandalorian Season 2.
Oh, yeah. And I thought about you when I saw that.
I read the snippet in there of who he's supposed to be or whatnot, and it sounds interesting.
Who's he supposed to be?
I don't want
to
spoil it.
Okay. Oh, come on. So who would we know him as? Other than Marshall Raylan Givens from Justified.
Bad guy in Die Hard.
He's also
the bad guy in Die Hard.
He's also the dude on the funny zombie show, which I haven't watched.
Yeah, Santa Clarita Diet. Actually, you know what? I love him as, like, he'll always be Raylan Givens for me, but his role on that is delightful on Santa Clarita Diet. He plays the husband to Drew Barrymore.
I like him in the movie Crazies a lot.
Okay.
Another small town cop, but just, you know, he's got that swagger.
Yeah, and I feel like we just saw him in something, or he was just cast in something, and now I'm blanking on what it was.
Okay, I'll spoil it. Apparently, he's going to be the one in the Mandalorian, in the Boba Fett armor. And then there's some expanded universe thing that tells how he got the Boba Fett armor and blah, blah, blah.
So he's not Boba Fett? That's going to be the thing?
What?
I don't know, man. I'm just saying. That's what I read. I could be wrong.
I'm down with that, actually. The man with no name kind of thing.
I think you might be reading that wrong, because they're talking about, while The Hollywood Reporter recently revealed that Temuera Morrison has returned to the Star Wars galaxy and
yeah,
is
but
playing
the,
fan favorite
correct,
Boba
the,
Fett, or at least
people
someone.
People think he's
that.
Being Rex.
The thing is, the thing that I've read is that he, okay, so
okay.
he got
you
the
read
armor.
This somewhere else.
He got the armor out of the Sarlacc pit, he bought it from someone who got it out of the Sarlacc pit, and now he is some dude that basically set up a small town called Freetown or Freeville.
Oh, I read that book. That's barely canon, and that's barely said
hey,
that this
I'm
armor.
Just, maybe, I don't know. Who knows? I'm just... Okay. He always plays a good sheriff type guy, so I'm sure he'll play that. I'd like to see him play bad, but like he came across cheesy as fuck in
For
what
sure.
you call it when he was bad.
So the thing that I was thinking that he was in recently was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Along with that, he was in Hitman, Scream 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's the bad guy in Scream. Well, he was young.
Yeah.
Like, crazy young.
And Dreamcatcher, also a
movie. Oh, wow.
That
I own that. I forgot he was in that.
He sure was. Okay, back on track with the news we've all been waiting for. The movie New Mutants, the oft-delayed New Mutants, now set to premiere in August. But we all know that it won't really. No, it's August 2020.
No, I know, but, you know, movies, if Tenet gets pushed, New Mutants ain't fucking coming out 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
No, New Mutants is put there because they can lose money on it and they don't fucking care at this point.
I think there's something in the rules that they have to release it theatrically first, and then the rights go to HBO, and then the rights go to Disney Plus. So I think in order to start that process, they have to release it in theaters first, even if it tanks and makes $5 or $55, then they can pull it and put it on streaming.
Well, I have both of those streaming services, so I'll be okay.
It's like Dark Phoenix and the other recent X-Men movies. I still haven't watched
that.
Fox did a deal with HBO to have them get the exclusive streaming rights.
That's not...
I'm afraid to watch it.
Mm, you should be.
Fuck.
Speaking of dumb alien movies, so CBS All Access has greenlit a Captain Pike and Spock USS Enterprise set spinoff from Discovery, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which promises to be more optimistic and more episodic versus the more kind of serialized dark
storytelling
Discovery and Picard. I think it'll be fun. I like that you can kind of have this variety that, again, I think there's a certain segment of Star Trek fans that never really warmed to Discovery that I think would be happy to see something a little bit more classic.
Yeah, probably. But you know what? I'm excited because Pike was one of the best thing of season two. So give me that show.
Do you think that Timothy Oliphant and Anson Mount could do a show where they're brothers?
Yep.
I think they could. I think they could.
Or clones.
It'd be kind of fun. Would it
I'm
be
a clone? I was a clone.
No, I want to see them be like doing a heist, like bank robbers or something. Or one's a lawman and the other's a scoundrel.
Why can't we do that in Star Wars?
We could do that.
We have an Imperial officer and a scoundrel.
I know who I'd pick to be the scoundrel.
Like twins?
Mm. All right. So, closing with our news before we get to trailers and Beef's Corner. Little shocker
Nobody
here.
Nobody puts Beef in a corner.
Late breaking news. This just came out right before we started recording. Ruby Rose is exiting the lead role on Batwoman, and CW will be recasting that part for season two.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Yeah. So this kind of comes as
a bit of
a shock. Is this
because of her injury?
Well, so the speculation is that she was pretty severely injured in a stunt gone wrong. Left her temporarily paralyzed, no doubt a scary event to kind of have happen to make you reevaluate your priorities. But according to the statement that was put out, this was kind of a mutual decision that they all came to and not necessarily related to that, but they're committed to recasting the role with another diverse LGBTQ actress to step into the role of Kate Kane.
Wow, this show is doomed. That show is already like limping. Can it survive a recast of its main star?
Yeah, so I was talking about this with someone else, and one of the things that these CW shows have always had, because I feel like for an actor without a lot of lead role experience, kind of being asked to lead an ensemble show like this is a really tough thing. I mean, Arrow season one, you had Stephen Amell, who I think grew into the role, but you kind of had this older generation of actors to kind of help shepherd them a little bit. So you
had... It was rough the first year.
It was rough the first year, but you had Susanna Thompson, Paul Blackthorne, Colin Salmon, and John Barrowman to kind of mentor the cast, you know, and that's pretty stacked. Yeah. Whereas Batwoman has what? Doug Ray Scott?
Yeah.
Again, I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but it always seemed to me that he was still a little bitter that Tom Cruise didn't let him play Wolverine.
Wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you be?
Fuck.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think kind of like the burden of that, the burden of the show, although it's been pretty well received, I don't think it's kind of broken out, especially in a season that was Arrow's final season. So that sucked up a lot of the oxygen. Yeah.
Dogs agree.
Dog agrees.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, it's time for Beef's Quibi Sucks Corner.
Hashtag Quibi Sucks.
Hashtag Quibi Sucks.
We're still on that. We know. Yep. Quibi Sucks.
We know. Oh, it's going to get worse.
Jeffrey Kratzenberg named as defendant in Quibi versus Echo legal war. Yeah, apparently Echo named a couple of the high execs as well. So they're not fucking around.
Wow. So to kind of fill in the backstory here, so Quibi is accused of stealing Echo, which is another development company, their flipping view video technology. That's what allows you to watch the show in portrait mode and in widescreen mode. Quibi calls it turnstile. Katzenberg responded, says, this is just a shakedown. They're trying to go after us for our money. What money? Okay, because right. You're losing money by the day.
Wow, okay, that's a quarrel.
So, more on this drama as it develops.
What if stuff happens, two companies develop stuff at the same time? It could be they developed it on their own. I mean, they probably didn't, but, yeah. You know, maybe.
Well, if I was Echo, I would have developed it and then sold it to YouTube.
Yep. Right.
Hey, and Google. Said,
yeah, hey, Google, why don't you do this? Not launched my own startup independent thing.
Wow, yeah, true that.
My phone just went, hey, Google.
That's funny.
It, because I said, hey, Google, why does Quibi suck?
And we're doing this for all of our listeners in their cars right now.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Google. Okay, Google. Oh, mine just did it. God damn it.
Hey, Google, what movie was Timothy Oliphant in recently?
Wikipedia.
Oh, that's not
helpful. In 2018, Oliphant was cast as a voice actor for the stop-motion animated film Missing Link.
We could do this all day. We could just ask Quibi or Quibi stuff. I'm not even going to say it anymore.
Google.
Let's get to the what's the name dump here.
Let's dump it out. We got a trailer dump here to talk about TV. The first trailer we have is a filmed at home Umbrella Academy Season 2 date announcement trailer. Now,
set
if
to,
you've seen... Yeah, set to I Think We're Alone Now, which is
so
great.
So great.
But apparently... Now, I have not watched Umbrella Academy Season
what?
1 yet.
It's Wing, on my have you two- seen it yet?
Nope.
Oh, my God. It's fucking awesome, you guys. We it's, could even do it for Crow-vember.
That's what
awesome,
I've heard.
You guys?
One of my students wrote a paper on it last semester for my time travel class.
Awesome.
So she told me I should definitely watch it, and apparently this dance video is a callback to a scene in season one.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God, I'm so disappointed in both of you. It's free and you own it right now.
You're the person to watch movies these days.
And I'm stuck at home, and I should watch this show.
It's only like 6 or 8 episodes, anyways. I think. Yeah, I could be lying.
All right. Adding it to the list.
300
next
hours.
Up.
Come on.
Next up.
You'll get there.
Blood and Water coming to Netflix. This is a South African series, apparently.
Eh.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't know who to root for or what was really going on, so...
Am I supposed to be excited by it?
I don't know. I probably won't watch it.
Because I'm not, yeah.
What about you, Lobster? Does that look good for you?
Not my jam.
Word.
Okay,
I mean,
let's move
the,
on.
Like the teen drama stuff, unless it has the comedic bent like American Vandal, not really why I'm watching TV.
Right.
Okay. I think we all agree.
That's
right?
Fair.
Space Force coming to Netflix.
Space Force.
Again, this is a longer trailer of Steve Carell taking over the real life ludicrous military branch, Space Force.
Whoa, you guys actually did that? That's not just a joke?
Nope.
No, nope, Trump really did that. That's a real thing.
Trump really did it. He said Space Force.
The supporting cast looks amazing, but I just don't know how much Carell I can stomach.
He's a he's hewing a little close to Michael Scott. Like, it feels like he's just playing the same character.
In a military suit or uniform.
Which I'm not saying that's bad. That's not a bad place to start, but I want a little more depth from him.
Netflix, again, going big and being timely with their documentaries. The Jeffrey Epstein Filthy Rich looks creepy and perfect.
I thought you would get excited for this one, not because you like Jeffrey Epstein, but because you love these docuseries.
Yeah, this is going to be... It was making my skin crawl as it was. I mean, he had a beautiful island and a home, but when they gave it the moniker that they did in the trailer, I almost barfed.
Was it Pedo Island?
Yeah, Pedophile Island. I'm like, dude. So, yeah,
this, I think, will be interesting. It seems like it's geared, although it's called Jeffrey Epstein, is really geared at, because he's dead now and probably didn't actually kill himself. There's probably some conspiracy there. I will say I kind of believe that there is. That it's about the other people who are in power that have not been...
Correct. Or at least they'll hint at a lot of them, because Netflix has good lawyers, so there might not be overt accusations.
Yeah. Great. Legendary, coming to HBO Max. This is when I thought of Shark Taco, actually, when I watched it.
This is like the... this is almost like...
Which one was it?
The ballroom, the drag ball.
It's like drag queens and ballroom, whatever.
Yep.
Yes, that's something we're clearly going to check, but...
Are they making their own shit as well, it looks like, or are they...
Of course.
Yeah, it looks like the costuming is a big part of it. It's kind of a Project Runway...
That's what I was looking for.
...type setup, and looks like different themes each week and so forth.
Cool. Yep.
Dad's going to play in the house.
And I have no idea why the dog is going crazy, other than the windows are open. And
it's 9:30, man.
We've been on for an hour.
Yeah, we have been. It's been a long cast. So sneak peek at Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7. This is a scene, looks like, towards the beginning of them having gone back in time now to the 1940s or 50s, to the very founding of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6, there's a pretty big spoiler in this clip, so make sure that you get caught up with the status of a certain main character.
Meh.
Who's dead?
I think it looks cool. There's a discussion. Dead? Who's dead? Yeah. Someone is dead, okay? But they're not. It's okay. There's a big, he's died before, he's fine. A couple of times. It's okay. There's a discussion in this clip about time travel, which this season feels like it's going to mirror Endgame in that way, because it's about time travel and how much you can really affect the timeline and so forth.
That
I'm
makes
excited.
Sense.
Yeah. One movie trailer to talk about. This is going to be on Netflix, directed by Spike Lee, The Five Bloods.
It looks interesting.
Yep.
The two time
it's a
time
very good trailer.
Time zones.
I think interesting is a good word.
So this is a story about five veterans from the Vietnam War, African American soldiers who fought in Vietnam. One of them, played by Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther, did not make it back, so they're kind of paying tribute to him. But at the same time, it's kind of a Three Kings. They've got some gold that they're on the hunt for. And it's also, the trailer is also intercut with a lot of historical archive footage.
Looks really
and a really
good
great song as well.
Yeah, it looks super interesting that way, with the new stuff and the old stuff all cut together. And the stuff that they shot to make look like it was shot in the 70s.
I'm excited for this. And again, it's Spike Lee doing this, so it's going to be good.
It's weird it's on Netflix, but I'll take it for free.
Yeah, well, he's done stuff for Netflix before, so this is kind of a cool relationship. And again, movies that premiere on Netflix will now be considered for Oscars and SAG Awards and so on, so it's one that we may see come up again. All right, one more trailer. This is a remade classic video game. If you were like me, you had on your PlayStation 1 Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
We all played some Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Now they're talking about a remaster. This is not a remake. That's what I'm afraid a little bit, because if they're just like buffing up what we already got.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah, it looks like a buffed up version, but
yeah, so it's the same levels in 4K. They're bringing back a lot of the same music and adding online multiplayer modes. And again, it says that they're really not changing the mechanics of the game. You'll still be able to pull the same combos and all of that. Which I think is really cool. I don't know. I have fond memories of playing Pro Skater, especially the build your own skate park feature, which I think was 2.
Nobody will ever beat Excite Bike for that feature.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. But, you know, I've lived the same exact thing this year. I replayed Final Fantasy VII a year ago.
Yeah.
And now I'm replaying the remake, which is not the same. It's a different game. Yeah. Yes, it's the same story, but the gameplay is all changed. And it's for the better, for a more modern audience.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm afraid with that remaster.
Yeah, but with PlayStation, are there different buttons on the controller, or is it still pretty much the same?
Same thing.
Yeah, so I think your muscle memory is going to come back. You're going to be able to do those sick twisty ollie 540 flip.
Sick move, bro.
Yeah.
We'll see when that comes out.
I'm excited. I think there are certain games that are kind of touchstones for when you got into gaming. You know, whether it was Madden, whether it was this, whether it was GoldenEye or Legend of Zelda or whatever. You know, Final Fantasy, it's there.
Word.
What have we been up to lately? Spoiler-free reviews.
I have been on a kick of rewatching old movies. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Nothing was sounding good. I perused all the Netflixes and all that, and I went, I'm going to go back to the movies that I purchased on the digital platforms, because you never know when I'll lose them, so I might as well watch some of them again. So I watched Life, the Ryan Reynolds space station kind of like alien type movie from a few years ago.
Why did you do that to yourself?
Why did you do that to yourself?
Because I think it's a great movie. It's a little slow right towards the end, but I think it's a really good movie.
I'm sorry to say that, Beef, but you need to drink more.
No, I think it's a great movie. Then I watched The Town.
That's a good movie.
As well, okay, I think, so is a great movie.
Potential Og Heist, right?
Potential. I would love it then. I love that movie. And then it's Kong amazing. Skull Island, which I also love, which I watched yesterday. Rick and Morty continues to be awesome and fucked up.
Yeah, I've heard the latest episode is full of Easter eggs and goodness.
Yeah, it's really good. Then I also started reading a book called The Radium Girls.
What?
Which is about...
Whoa, reading? What the
reading
hell?
Reading a I know. Book, you I enlightened son of a bitch. I do that
sometimes.
Wow.
But this is a book called The Radium Girls by Kate Moore. And it is about young women in, say, 1913, 14, 15, all around the war, World War One, when they first discovered radium. They first discovered radium. They thought it was the cure-all to everything, and it was totally harmless and blah, blah, blah.
Bad for you.
And it's very radioactive, and these women would paint these young girls, sometimes 13, 14, 15, up to, you know, 25, 26, they would paint faces on watches so the men in the trenches could see.
I was
going to
say watches, yeah.
And even like dials and planes and shit, they would paint these things. They would make up to, was it like $20 a day or what? In the long run, they were making, they could make double what their fathers made in a year. And, I mean, in the first, like, 50 pages, you find out. I mean, it's a slow-moving train wreck.
Bad stuff, yeah.
Well, they would dip the brush in water. They would put the brush in their mouth to point it, because it was, like, a 40 or 30-hair brush. So they would make it into a fine point with their lips, and then they would paint a digit or two or three. So well, radium in their mouth thousands of times a day. Needless to say, within 3 to 7 years, these chicks started having really bad, horrible problems and deaths. Yes. So it's a slow-moving train wreck. The book is crazy, and it's accounts from people, and it's, I don't know, it's scary, but it's amazing that we went through this, because the company is, of course, really not denying anything or telling these, mm-hmm. it's horrible that we didn't have any laws in place, and who knows if people are being lied to like this today with shit, you know?
Of course they are.
Yeah,
I know. What are you talking about?
Maybe not this, maybe not this egregious, you know?
Oh, probably worse.
At one point in time, they said they stopped using the pigment in 19... Or they stopped letting the girls do the lip pointing in 1923. And they said... they blamed it on the saliva in your mouth is making the adhesive break down and the numbers aren't sticking as well. They didn't say anything about the fucking health risks.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, you fucking... Anyways, hi, yeah. Lobster, what have you been watching?
Oh, man. So that sounds awesome, and this is a book that you can read.
Yeah, Kindle
with words on pages.
Words on pages. It's a good 500 or 600 pager. I got the paperback for like $8 maybe.
Nice.
Yeah.
Local bookshop library.
What the hell? It's like 400 pages and then contents. I Amazoned it just because I wasn't out and about. Cool. So
speaking of Amazon, I watched season one of Upload, which is a show with Robbie Amell.
That's the comedy about the afterlife, right?
Yep. It's actually from some of the creators of The Office. He is a handsome man who dies, and kind of in the San Junipero Black Mirror way, you can upload your consciousness to a digital server. And then you find out that the afterlife comes with microtransactions and all kinds of stuff. So this is a funny show. It's actually a lot more heartfelt and complex than it appears at first glance. One of the things I love is one of the older residents of the afterlife community is played by the cigarette-smoking man from The X-Files.
Nice.
And he plays completely against type, and it's amazing. So that's a lot of fun. We watched season one of that. We've been watching The Great on Hulu, which is a miniseries about Catherine the Great of Russia, who is played by Elle Fanning. Nicholas Holt plays her husband Peter,
the Tsar,
the Emperor of Russia. It's great, hilarious. It's kind of like Downton Abbey on crack. and to it, I say, huzzah. And finally, I watched a movie, The Lighthouse, on Amazon Prime. So this is from Robert Eggers, the director of The Vavitch. It is the black and white, weird aspect ratio movie with Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson as two lighthouse keepers off the coast of Maine in the 1890s. And it is a trippy, weird, wild movie and an amazing watch if you're going slightly crazy in your quarantine. You can actually hear me talk about it on Art House Legends podcast, my old stomping grounds, with movie dude Eric and Chris, and that episode should be out soon.
Wing, what have you been up to?
Same thing as usual, putting my solid 25 to 50 hours in Animal Crossing, playing some more Final Fantasy. And I found that little documentary on the DC YouTube channel, which...
The Batmobile.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. But if you're a big Batman fan and have seen a lot of the content on your DVDs, might be just all of these lined up together. But
still worth a watch, though? Like a good, at least a good revisit?
Yeah, that was a fun hour. I mean, yeah, that enough for me to write it there. So I had a good time. Shark Tank was rewatching The Good Doctor. Mm. That shit was good, but depressing as fuck. So, good.
I was thinking about dabbling back into House one of these days because that's semi uplifting and fun, mm-hmm. you know.
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, they usually...
I don't go in for the medical dramas too much. My wife's big into a lot of Grey's Anatomy and whatnot.
See, House most of the time they figure it out at the end, you know?
Yeah, that was very content. Uh-huh. Oh, we're still watching slowly but surely Twin Peaks, the last season.
Good.
Well, I find it good. Yeah, there was one episode where I was like, okay, that's too much because it's so artistic that I was like, okay. But Shark Tackle was like, num, 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 that's awesome, that's awesome. Like, I like it when there's a little bit more characters in my TV shows. But beside that, I like it. I really, really like it, the way they arch back and everything. People say that the ending is a little bit like meh, but now that I know, I'm not expecting anything. So I would, yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Next time, Legends Podcast, David Lynch's 1984 masterpiece, Dune.
Speaking of Kyle MacLachlan, am I right? And David Lynch coming back together.
Where do you think can that we came find from? This?
I don't actually know, other than a DVD that I own.
Oh, Wing, what the where hell?
Where should we look for
the DVD
Dune?
That I own?
God damn it!
Let's see. I'm gonna do a quick Google.
Wait a second,
Shark Echo.
Where can we find Dune? Where did you watch it? Netflix. Okay, Netflix Canada.
Yeah, but that's your Netflix. Hold on. Let's check the actual American people. Yeah, doesn't have
it's
everything.
It's looking like YouTube $3.99, iTunes $3.99, Google Play $3.99, Vudu $3.99, Amazon Prime $3.99. So $3.99.
All right.
Shark Taco will be sending Beef to watch Dune per her recommendation.
I got it. I'll handle this. I'll dig into the slush fund.
You know what? You should probably just straight buy it in DVD before.
You really should. There's a good. I have the Steelbook. You might actually be able to get a Blu-ray.
But
I'm
will
go
I like
Dune.
It?
You will.
I'm the only one that's going to bitch for 2 hours. That's
Target
it.
Will sell you a Blu-ray for $8.29. So.
$8.29 for a Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Oh my God. They're giving them away.
Yeah, I might buy it and just ship it to Beef.
No, son of a man.
The age of physical media is coming back.
It's true. It's all coming back.
Whatever. Oh, that's my line. Sorry. So yeah, next week I guess we're gonna do that. I was looking at Amazon. I got sidetracked.
The podcast where we're gonna do that. Yeah. We're gonna do that.
Have a comment, question, or recommendation? Email us, legendspodcasts@gmail.com, with an extra S for some aliens. Some aliens. This has been episode 473 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, damn, I'm going to have to buy a movie for next week.
I'm John D saying, giant worms. Fucking giant worms.
I'm John Lobster saying, I must not fear the physical media. I must become one with it. I must let it pass over me.
Nice.
And watch it.
The spice is bad.
The worms.
The gun is good.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook @LegendsPodcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.